Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. The human journey is filled with many significant transitions. Some say the transition from civilian life to military life is one of the most challenging. Another, of course, is the transition from single to married life, or from no children to parenting. And then the reverse, from marriage to widow or widowerhood, and from a house full of kids to being an empty nester. So in your journey so far, what have been some of the most significant life changes you've experienced? Let's rejoin Samuel about 1050 BC and the dramatic, unexpected, life-changing transition he is explaining to a young man named Saul. Samuel has just informed Saul that he is God's choice to become Israel's first human king. I left you yesterday standing with Samuel and Saul as Samuel had just anointed Saul with sacred oil. And then this happened. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. 1 Samuel 10, verse 9. Time for an important question for all of us. Has God changed your heart and mine? And if so, how are we different today from before God did his heart-changing work? Is it your hope in 2024 that God will do even more heart-change work in you? And what do you hope will be the results in how you live your life, the reputation you build, and the legacy you leave? Saul headed down the road toward the town of Gilgal, as Samuel had instructed him. The record follows Saul with this note. When Saul and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met Saul. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Saul in power, and Saul joined them in their prophesying. When those who had formerly known Saul saw Saul prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to Saul, the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets of Israel?" 1 Samuel 10, verse 10 and 11. Many people believe the Holy Spirit of God first appears in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 at the Pentecost anointing of the disciples. But of course, that is not true, for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are eternal and are one God. The Holy Spirit is first seen in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and is visibly at work throughout the entire Old Testament. Saul experienced a life-changing anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in truth, we don't know exactly what those prophets were doing, that is called prophesying, nor do we know how Saul joined in with them. Perhaps it was a form of worship. Perhaps they were quoting sections of Scripture in praise to God. But whatever it was, Saul joined them, and in so doing amazed those who knew Saul and had never seen him do that before. Clearly, to them at least, this was evidence of something deeply spiritual, which the Holy Spirit of God was doing in Saul. And that caused people to take notice. In anticipation, God was about to do something very significant. And that moves me to ask two more questions of us. First, do you and I recognize when the Holy Spirit of God is working significantly in our own lives and or in someone else's life? Second, when we see evidence of God at work among us, does that awaken an anticipation, an expectation of something significant that only God could miraculously do? And do we look for ways to join in with what God is doing? Or do we disregard it, staying the course with our own life focused on our self-agenda? 1 Samuel 10, verse 12 tells us, Samuel summoned the leaders of Israel together at Mizpah, the very same place they had experienced the miraculous rescue by God from the Philistine army many years before, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel challenged them with these words, "You have rejected your God who saves you out of all your distress, and you have said, 'Set a king over us.' So now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and your clans." It was time for the selection process. This was not a democratic election, nor was it a backyard brawl to see who would be the last man standing. So I presume one man came forward representing each of the 12 great tribes of Israel. And the record says Samuel selected the man representing the tribe of Benjamin. Then a man came forward from each family clan in the Benjamin tribe, and Samuel selected Matri's clan. Finally, Kish was chosen as the family head, and specifically, Samuel called for Saul, the son of Kish, but he did not come forward. So Samuel prayed, and God told Samuel that Saul was hiding among the caravan of animals and baggage all these people had brought with them to this assembly. It's time for another question. Have you or I ever backed away when we sensed God was calling us to step forward for something God wanted to guide and empower us to do, but it would require courage, and we felt inadequate, unqualified? The record says they brought Saul out, and as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the Israelites shouted, "Long live the king!" 1 Samuel 10:23-24. While you and I have heard or read that phrase many times, this was the first time the people of Israel, God's chosen people, had ever said, "Long live the king." This was a defining moment and impacted the nation of Israel from that day to the present. As you put yourself in the scene, what do you see as the qualifications Saul had which led the people to rally around him to be their king? There is no mention of education or leadership training or military experience. There is no mention of spiritual maturity. I see three things. First, he was taller than any other man, and I presume that awakened courage and confidence that he'd be a good leader in battle. Second, he was God's chosen man, and that would have been welcomed by the spiritually mature among the crowd. Third, he was described as unique, unlike any other man in Israel. But of course, there was no explanation of Saul's uniqueness. The spontaneous response of the people tells me they were nearly desperate to unite together around a human leader and rush off into a future they could control. Now think about that a moment. For if they were no longer following God's leading, then they could turn against the human leader, remove him, and replace him at any time for any reason. The people were in control of their own destiny. And while that sounds attractive, it is disastrous and breeds anarchy, as history has taught us, and you've probably experienced in your own life. I think we should pause right here in this celebration, which seems exciting, but is breaking Samuel's heart, for the people of God are joined together in turning away from God. Look around, my friends, in early 2024. Do you see the same thing happening wherever you live in the world? And what does history teach us about the price of turning away from God? I think no song today, my friends. Instead, quiet, deep reflection. What is the Holy Spirit of God saying to you and to me today about turning away from God?